Good morning. Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, who calls us each by name to follow and demonstrate the way of love by our worship. May we all be led well to so live. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who may be joining us by our live streamed or our recorded worship. We are in a time when we are physically separate, but we are also in a time when our church and many others are being called to be the church up and about its business, advancing the mission of God in the world by every means possible, including virtual means. By the power of the Spirit, we do that. No matter who you are, or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning. As always, we're going to thank our worship leaders because without them, this worship wouldn't be possible. And so we give thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Karen Shirley and Ken Pierce, Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury. And also we give special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for all of their technical expertise that makes this worship possible. We have a time during our worship of candle lighting. I'll be lighting the Christ candle at the beginning of the service, just following these announcements. And we invite you to have a candle ready to use yourselves to light along with me as I do that. So we hope that you will participate in worship in that way. Also, we have a time of lifting up public prayer concerns and celebrations during our worship. You will find many of those in our worship bulletin, but we also invite you to send your prayers now to prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those prayers by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. We have a time of post-worship fellowship just following our worship service, roughly 11:30 to 12:30. This happens every Sunday, and we invite you to join us. This happens via Zoom video conferencing, and you will find links in the bulletin and also on the church's website, and they've also been sent out in the church's emailed newsletter on Friday and also this morning. So you should be able to find those there, and if you can't, visit our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have a few announcements to share with us this morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. So I want to invite everyone to join us for Super Bowl 2021. And if you don't know what that is, yes, it is not the Super Bowl that is going to be played in a football stadium, but rather a Super Bowl where we pull together food for people who are in need. So you want to get in the game, and I'll give you an update. So as of right now, the Penguins have raised $270, and the Polar Bears have raised $1,100. So Penguins, we need to get going here. If you're wondering which team you are on, if you want to go by where you live, if you are if you live north of Route 135, then you are a Polar Bear. If you live south of Route 135, you are a Penguin. Or you can choose to have a favorite mascot and go cross lines. That's perfectly fine too. It's really easy. You go online to yougivegoods.com/NaticSuperBowl2021, and you can donate money so that food will be delivered to our local food pantry at a place to turn in Natick. And we have just about reached halftime at this point. We're 2 weeks in, and we're on our way, but we have a long way to go. Please be a part of that and make a donation. And we want to invite you to save the date. Next Sunday is our church annual meeting. Now, we usually gather along long tables in our vestry together. We can't do that this year, and so it's going to be a virtual digital Zoom annual meeting, and we need a quorum of 50 church members in order to vote for our 2021 budget and other church business. So we need you there. So please be a part of this and join us. The Zoom link will be the normal post-worship fellowship link that we use every week. So you should not have any trouble finding that link. That we send that out for our in our link weekly newsletter. It will be on our website, and you will be receiving information via mail, via the post office. You are going to receive a warrant with a letter that will explain some of the things that we're going to be doing at our annual meeting. And then also in a separate mailing, you will receive the church annual report. So all the reports of all the church officers and coordinators of all of our ministry teams. And we invite you to read through that and then come to the meeting and be prepared for fun and discussion and yes, voting too. You can phone in if you don't have an internet access to do the Zoom in that way. And if you are phoning in, we want to invite you to let us know that you're going to do that, and we can hand deliver you the presentation materials that will be shown to others who have their visual through Zoom, but we want you to be able to follow along. So if you plan on phoning in, let us know. We can hand deliver that to you this coming Saturday before the meeting. So save that date. This coming Sunday, annual meeting at noon. And during the week, we have our midweek connection and prayer on Wednesday at noon. You're all invited to join us for that. It's a short time together where we come together to share prayer requests and to be in prayer with one another. It's a lovely time together, Wednesdays at noon. And Jonathan is available for pastoral care needs that you may have during the week. Please don't hesitate to contact him via his email at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or by his mobile phone that you can find on our website. I also want to invite folks to look for information about our pub theology that's happening on Wednesday evening this week. We're going to be looking at how poetry can inspire us, from the Psalms to Mary Oliver to Amanda Gorman. And so we invite you to bring your favorite inspirational poem, and we will talk about poetry this month at our pub theology. That's 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening, and you can find those links in our weekly link email. Thank you.
I invite us now to light our candles together, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, that we are called to make that light shine into every beshadowed corner where the light of God is needed. So please join with me in lighting our candles together. Let us continue now our worship as we move on to our responsive call to celebration.
Please join us in the call to celebration.
Night gives birth to dawn,
and all creation sings for joy.
Let us worship our Creator.
The trees clap their hands.
The two-legged and four-legged yawn and stretch.
The rooster crows a morning song.
Let us live the good news
and sing praise to the one who gives us breath.
Hallelujah.
Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together. We thank you, God of grace and wisdom, for calling us into your church to be your people. We have gathered because we have heard your call. You have reached out to us in Jesus Christ. You have touched us with your Spirit, and we have turned toward you, seeking to love as we have been loved. We call upon your holy name. Empower us to worship and serve you, walking gently on this earth through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands perhaps in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our own peace, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We are people who are blessed with many, many different gifts. And to be the church in the world, it means that we are to use those gifts in ways that bless the world well. And so we do that. We do that as a congregation. We do that as people of God out and about our business in our communities and our families and indeed farther beyond. And so we ask you to keep being a people who think thoughtfully who think in an inspirative way about how best to use those gifts in the world. We're also a church that depends on money gifts in order to make some of the ministry and mission, the programs, et cetera, that we are engaged in to be the church happen. And so we encourage you to continue to be generous supporters of this church's mission and ministry, a unique ministry in the Natick community and beyond, a ministry that's about being Natick's front porch, a ministry that's about being the light of God in the world in our particular corner of the world. Let us do that together. So be generous if you can, do what you can. You can always mail a check to the church. That's one way to get the money to us if you are sending money to us. Of course, you can also visit our church's website if you want to make an online donation at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Be generous in every way. Remember the gifts God has given you, and remember the ways that they can bless the world well. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." May today's offering be an act of gratitude given from merciful hearts. Let us pray. Holy One, Jesus showed us that your mercy, compassion, and peace have been extended to the whole world. So we lift up this offering as a response to your call to participate in sharing this good news. To this end, we dedicate it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, last week I mentioned the fact that our scriptures contain not just edifying and inspiring stories, they also contain other things like humorous stories. And apparently, as today's scripture reading shows us, they also contain fish stories. So, you know, I wanted to say that one of my favorite fishing stories is not about the fish that I caught that was this big, but a true story about my father, the one that got away, and how it found its way back to him. My dad is in his early 90s now, but there was a time when nothing was more relaxing to him than spending a week on the lake, trolling in the canoe by day, and spending the evening in quiet meditation around the campfire. But like many people who do this only once a year, this could sometimes be a kind of intense relaxing. One year, the first day on the lake, he had had meager success fishing. And I imagine him coming home before supper and my mom, his camping partner, asking something like, "Well, should I plan on cooking spaghetti every night?" And maybe the intensity of his relaxation got kind of ratcheted up a notch. Anyway, he was determined to get back out there and use the remaining daylight to see what he could do and to give it another shot. So he got in the canoe and he started trolling again. But as the sun began to sink, so did his spirits. He had caught nothing. Dispirited, he finally made for camp. Now, about a quarter mile out from camp, he happened to glance back at his rod. His rod, all but forgotten, and to his amazement, he watched it as it dipped sharply toward the water. And instinctively, he made a dive for it, a strong, a purposeful dive, a dive made all the more forceful by his desire, perhaps, to bring home something, a dive maybe to salvage some semblance of relaxation from this vacation, a fateful dive that cast him and the entire contents of the canoe into the lake. Well, he scrabbled back into the boat and righted it and gathered up what he could of those things that remained afloat and gave up the rest, rod, reel, and tackle for lost. Well, a day of this kind of relaxation specifically kind of makes you, lose your appetite for quiet meditation by firelight, especially when your camping partner is making up the next day's menu and only asks whether you want plain or meat sauce. He goes to bed, but my dad's a fighter. He's a fighter. Next morning, he was back at it early, though he opted to just cast from the safety of shore. But do you know? It paid off. It paid off. After only a couple of casts, he hooked what turned out to be one of the best catches of his life. He tugged and he tugged and he realized that this was indeed a prime catch. He'd hooked something bigger than this, no kidding. For he pulled in the rod and reel that he had lost the day before. He figured the fish had dragged the rig close to shore before the line snapped. Well, I've always been amazed by this true fish story. Thankful now because it has become a sermon illustration, but also because, it was my rod and reel that he retrieved. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. I know you're listening. Now, I figure that any fish story can apply to a sermon. After all, fishing depends on faith, but it's even more applicable today. Fishing is an art worthy of the knowledge and practice of a wise man. So wrote Isaac Walton, a contemporary of Shakespeare, who wrote the book, The Complete Angler. The Complete Angler, a book that's become the fisherman's Bible, a book that so romanticizes fishing that theology seems superfluous. Well, today's scripture could easily have featured Jesus saying, I think, fishing is an art worthy of the knowledge and practice of a disciple. So what did he mean when he said that disciples would be catching people? Well, there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus was talking about evangelism. All right, I've said it, I know, evangelism. That is not a word in our tradition that we hear very often. It sounds pushy and it doesn't go over well, in particular with New Englanders, I've found, as I've spent my entire ministry career in New England. In fact, when I served a church in central Vermont, I had a parishioner there who told me the story of the evangelist who approached an old Vermonter asking, "Do you belong to the Christian family?" "No," says the old timer, "they live two farms down." "No, no," says the evangelist, I mean, "are you lost?" "No, I've been here 40 years. No, I mean, are you ready for the judgment day?" The evangelist finally asks, "Well, when is it?" asks the old timer. "Well," replies the evangelist, "it could be today, it could be tomorrow." Nodding, the old timer Vermonter finally says, "Well, when you find out for sure when it is, you let me know. My wife will probably want to go both days." Evangelists, I think, would do well to remember St. Francis's words, "At all times, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." I love that. Or maybe preach the gospel by what you do more than what you say. And though it undermines what I am doing right now and sermonizing, it might help us to identify our true role as those who are called to share the good news. Behind the word evangelism are the Greek words euangelion, meaning the good news, and euangelos, meaning the bringer of the good news. And so we get this word evangel. This is the name that was given to a slave in ancient Greek city-states. A slave who was charged specifically with bringing the good news of military victory back home to the people. And after proclaiming this victory, the slave was granted freedom. So the freed slave then embodies this very message that he announces. This image of the slave being set free is the true essence of Christian evangelism, or so it should be. For at its heart, Jesus' teaching that God's realm of freedom has come near, a reality he demonstrated through his freeing words, casting out demons, helping the blind and the lame and the deaf, curing every disease and sickness, promising to bind up the brokenhearted and release the captives. Where most evangelists, I think, go wrong is that they take this analogy too far. You see, Jesus didn't hook anyone. He didn't use artificial lures. He witnessed to the gospel. By teaching, yes, but also by healing and by doing. And he let people choose to follow or not. The fact is, there's no room for coercion alongside God's word of truth and freedom. So when it comes to faith, I am absolutely convinced that faith is caught and not taught. That is how I came to receive and believe the good news myself. I grew up as a preacher's kid. The truth is, I can't remember much about what my dad preached on. Dad, I'm sorry about that, but it's true. But I have always wanted to be like my father. Not because he was perfect, but because I was convinced of the gospel's truth because of how he lived, his actions and his attitudes, more than by what he said. These made me want to follow in his footsteps as a pastor, but also as a human being. Evangelism isn't about catching people. No, evangelism affirms that the gospel is catching, and that if we're exposed to it in its purest form through the lives of others, then it is possible that we will pick it up too. So our task as Christians isn't about hooks or nets, but showing people something that they recognize that they most deeply need. As a boy, Robert Louis Stevenson looked out into the dark from his upstairs window and watched a man who was lighting street lamps, and his governess came into the room and asked him what he was doing. And he replied, "I am watching a man cut holes in the darkness." I think that's the essence of evangelism. Jesus said, "The light has come." We are to be sharers of God's light, cutting holes in the spiritual darkness of our world, sharing the good news through the lives that we lead. Again, the good news isn't some kind of feel-good, happy time, power of positive thinking, rewards-based theology. that says that if we just live a good life, then God will always protect and bless us. That is not how it works. We have known the valley of the shadow. Each of us has. We can't pretend that bad things don't happen to good people. Now, the gospel affirms the reality of suffering. But what makes it good news, however, is that it also witnesses to the empty cross, to the reality of hope. It says that we are not bound by anything that the darkness can deliver, not disease or pain, not fear or anxiety, not terror or violence, not death. So evangelism isn't about catering to people's desires, giving them sermons that flatter and hymns that warm them and baptizing them into settled paths, praying for them as they are. No, evangelism does something else. Evangelism speaks to people's deep, deep needs, affirming that God isn't on the boundaries of life, but at its very center. The light that cuts through the darkness. So we witness to the light by showing people something that they recognize that they need, largely by living this good news. Next Sunday after worship, we have got an all-church business meeting. It's important business, and I hope each one of you is going to be there, whether you're an official church member or not, because in and among the many articles that we're going to vote on about budget and leadership positions and other things like that, we are going to be taking up the church's essential business. How we are planning, not merely to proclaim, but to live together the good news for the transformation of human lives and indeed the entire creation for the rest of this year and beyond. Isaac Walton said, "As no man is born an artist, so no man is born an angler." No doubt, becoming an accomplished fisher of people, what we might call complete disciple, will also take some time. For most of us, it's going to take some more grappling with the word evangelism, and maybe it's a word that doesn't really work for us, but whatever we call it, we can't claim to be followers of Christ, I think, if we aren't committed through the lives we lead to sharing the good news. Good because it speaks to our needs, and news because it speaks to us in the here and now. For when we live out the gospel for others, we are offering something to address the deepest of human needs now and in all times, and that is joy. Let us strive towards such worthy evangelism. For the promise of our faith is that, like the evangel, the freed messenger slave, in sharing the good news, we experience such joy ourselves as we taste the sweetness of our own freedom. Besides, like my father, we too may find we have surprising, unexpected results when we live as good news focused fishers of people. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now of being in prayer together. A time when we bring the joys and celebrations of our lives, the things that we care about most deeply, into prayer before our loving God. And you will find many of those prayers are listed in the bulletin. And we invite you to take a close look at those to know what some of those prayers are that are on our hearts. And we would offer some others. We offer prayers of gratitude for the peaceful transfer of power that happened in our nation this week as one administration handed over the reins to another. We heard their reassuring words about how we are going to meet all of the challenges before us as a nation. But as our new president and vice president and others who spoke that day underscored, words only go so far. And I was in particular struck, as many of you must have been, by the words of Amanda Gorman, the nation's first youth poet laureate, who offered the poem, "The Hill We Climb." And I want to remind us of a few of the words that she shared in that poem, which began, "When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. In the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always justice." And then later she continues, "And yes, we are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we are striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge a union with purpose, to compose a country composed of all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew. That even as we hurt, we hoped. That even as we tired, we tried. That we'll forever be tied together victorious, not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again." So division. So what I'm thinking as I heard those words this week, and they're bringing tears to my eyes again, though we didn't hear them in the powerful, powerful voice of Amanda Gorman, what I'm thinking this day is that we must pray, not just for words that inspire, not just for grand ideas and beliefs and even strong religious beliefs and commitments, but we must pray that we have the will to behave, to act those inspirited words and the words of our faith that call us to be a people of love committed to the inclusion of all. So let us bring that into our prayer this day, bring it into our prayer as we remember that next Sunday we come together as a congregation to consider how we will be the church in mission and in ministry, boldly acting the faith that we believe. And also a people who are committed to join in other efforts that lay before our nation and indeed before the world community, such as the fact of coronavirus and how each one of us has a responsibility to act for not just for ourselves or for the ones that we love, but indeed to act for the common good. We bring those things in prayer as well. And I ask now Wayne Zaretta if there are other prayers or concerns that were shared with us before or during our worship this day. Wayne?
Good morning. Prayers go out to the family of Christine Anderson. Amy Foley would like to thank the church community for all of the prayers for her uncle Jason Mondale over the many past years. Jay recently died after fighting a long battle with various cancers. His medical team helped him live many years beyond any expected time. And for this, he and his family, including his young grandson, are very grateful. Lastly, we ask a special blessing upon the government officials of our great country. Reassure them of thy continued guidance and protecting care. Give them the will to understand, the courage to do that which is right, and the strength to carry out thy teachings.
Thank you, Wayne. I invite us all to be in prayer together before our loving God. Let us pray. Loving Lord, in your blessed wisdom, you arranged your church in such a way that it can survive without pastors and priests and bishops and denominational staff, but never without the faithful people whose daily discipleship testifies to your power and love. And so we pray for each person who is a part of this faith community in some way. We ask you, Holy One, to bless these people in the callings to which your will has led them. Help them to know that they are called people. Assure their hearts that whatever work they do in your name becomes a holy and a precious ministry in your sight. Through their varied labors, bless our community, bless our commonwealth and beyond. Use these, your servants, to teach and to heal, to build and to plant, to protect, to clean and to repair. Through them and their work, may our world be blessed by the many ways that they are active in your creation, in manufacturing, in the transportation of needed goods, and in the processing of data, and the cleaning, and the nourishing, and the clothing, and the designing, the organizing, the administrating, and so contributing in these many ways and more to the well-being and prosperity of our community. Empower these people, all of us, in their serving. Make them examples of honesty and integrity to their employers and their associates, their clients and customers, and maybe even their competitors. Let the conduct of their lives be wordless sermons, not pushy or self-satisfied or high and mighty, but showing forth the peace and power with which you sustain your children. Because, Holy One, we know of brokenness in so many places where racism and white supremacy are actively at work, pushing some down to lift others up, where we know that might and power are used for private ends, where we know that sometimes even good things can be twisted to bad purposes, where we know there is healing of bodies and spirits and minds and hearts that's needed. So many places there of brokenness and of need. May your loving spirit be there to meet each place of brokenness. And Holy One, help each one of us to fish for people, but to do that by using the skills and the talents and the abilities with which you have bestowed upon all of us. Bless us in our discipleship, in our ministry. May we understand what we're about as ministry that's shared, not just by the clergy, but for each and every one of us, knowing that ministry is needed for the sake of the life and work of your Son, Christ our Lord. We ask these things, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God sends us into the world to accept the cost and to discover the joy of discipleship. Arise now from worship, people of God, to witness to the good news as fishers of all people. And as you do, receive this blessing from Isaac Walton's The Complete Angler. Let the blessing of St. Peter's Master be upon all that dare trust in God's providence and go a-angling. Go now in the peace of Christ to be the people of God in the world. Amen.